bow our heads for prayer. Almighty God, you who which was, which is, and which is to come, with whom we will have to do, who knows the hearts of all men. O God, we marvel at your love for us. We marvel, God, that you are so big, so mighty, so powerful, so awesome, so above anything that we can even think, and yet you love us so tenderly. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us and for being our friend. Father, may your kingdom come. May your will be done in this audience, in this congregation tonight. As your will is done in heaven, so may your will be done among us. O God, thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. This is the last day of boot camp. And as I said last night, I wish I could have been here for more of it. I feel like a stranger. I feel like I parachuted in here 2 days before you quit. And I feel sorry about that. But this is the last day. I don't know how you're feeling about it. Some of you are probably excited about going back home and getting back into life. Some of you may feel a little bit like Peter did on the Mount of Transfiguration that said, Lord, let's build three. It's good for us to be here. Let's build three tabernacles. And let's just stay here. That would be wonderful too, wouldn't it? But it would be a very, very sad thing for all that you have learned and all that you've grown in this week to not be able to put it to use somewhere. You wouldn't want to be here for much longer. But it's the last day. There was another last day in another place of earth. And we're going to look at that in John chapter 7. John chapter 7. The Feast of Tabernacles. And Jesus went over there. And it seems like on the last day of that Feast of Tabernacles, there was a burden pressed in his spirit. It seemed like, I could only imagine our Lord walking around that crowd, being around the temple on those feast days. And finally on the eighth day, that last holy convocation, that last gathering. And can you imagine our Lord standing there and observing these sacrifices and seeing this gathering and seeing this reverence and this worship? And he knows all of this was a shadow of me. All of this was being done for these ages and these years as a shadow of that which was to come. And here I am. And if only these people could see that it's not these carnal ordinances. It's me. It's Jesus. And finally he said in verse 37 in John chapter 7, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried and saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Believe on me. I wonder, you know, it was beautiful. I love sitting there with my wife and watching you youth up here sing and seeing the joy of the Lord in your countenance. But I wonder, is anyone here tonight thirsty? Are you thirsty? Are you longing for something in your heart that you have not experienced? Are you thirsty and you do not have? You reach, it's like, I remember thinking in my young youth years, I feel like I'm grasping, I see vapor. and it looks exciting, and it looks like something that would be fun. And I reach for it with anticipation, and it's gone. I remember working on the house. I remember exactly where I was. And I thought in my heart, it feels like I'm always on the outside looking in. I wonder if anyone can identify tonight. You see the joy on some of these faces? You see the living reality in some of your peers? And yet you know they have something that you don't have. Are you thirsty? There are so many distractions today. Satan has done such a good job of making the world look like such a fulfilling place. So many things to do, so many things to try, so many places to go, so many things that you can never do them all in this life. And there's always something nicer and bigger and better to chase after. And it's a distraction to keep your soul hungry and thirsty. And you will never be satisfied. There are so many distractions. There are also so many religious performances that we can do to distract the hunger of our hearts. And I'm sorry, there's two extremes tonight. There's the worldly pursuits that we can shake our heads and just be so sad that our youth are going after. But I'm sorry, there are religious performances for us parents and grandparents that we can be trying to fill our life with, but our soul is empty. And we are not experiencing the reality of Jesus. Are you thirsty, brothers and sisters? Come to the water. Jesus, believe in me, and you will be satisfied. Do you know what it takes to be truly satisfied by Jesus? A complete and full surrender. Oh, I remember wrestling. It may be that young girl. It may be that young boy that you've got to give up. It may be that place of service that you want to go to and your parents say no. It may be anything. It may be legitimately good, but God may ask you, give it up. For Abraham, it was his one and only son whom thou lovest. What is God asking you to give up that is hindering your fulfillment and full satisfaction in Jesus? Believe in me, Jesus said. There is no sorrow that Jesus cannot heal. I know that there are people tonight that are hanging on to past offenses as a fulfillment to their life that keeps their souls hungry for Jesus. They don't know it. They won't admit it. But I want to encourage you tonight, if there has been pain in your life, if there has been abuses in your life, there is no sorrow that Jesus cannot heal. Come to Jesus. Let it all go. Place it upon the altar like Abraham placed Isaac on the altar. And he took his knife to slay him. What did that represent? That means he was letting him go. 100% surrender. I will let my past offenses go. And until I'm willing to let them go and not be part of my identification, I cannot find rest in my heart. Peace comes when I let everything go to God. And I give it all up. Jesus is a very, very loving person, I find. But brothers and sisters, to the sinner, I thought of this verse as you all were singing tonight. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. To the soul that is surrendered, to the heart that is yielded, behold the goodness of God. I was just in wonder as you were singing that song. I don't know what it was. I just remember the last word. It was a picture of God on His throne and in all His holy splendor and in all His sovereignty and greatness and power. And the angels sing, holy, holy, holy. And you know what? That's the God that loves me and you so much. That's the God that comes to you as you yield your and surrender your life to Him and pours healing oil of love and comfort in your life. I know what it's like to fall on my face and be numb with pain to where I can say nothing. And Jesus comes and he fills that place. So high and holy, and yet so loving and kind. Behold the goodness and severity of God. There is coming a day when the sun will rise for the last time. There is coming a day when the sunset will shine in its glory one last time. There is coming a day when you will dress yourself and go to work for the last time. And time will be no more. The title of the message is The Last Day. I don't know how long this message is going to take. I'm not concerned about that. If you want to leave at any time, you're welcome to. But I'm impressed tonight by God this afternoon in my study that He wants me to do a work. And I'm persevered to do that work. So brothers and sisters, I'm not going to look at that clock. It's going to get late probably, and I'm sorry. But we have a work to do. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. The last day. We could read about the tribulations. We could read about the woes. We could read about the rumors of war and the suffering. We're not going to do that tonight. We're going to begin in verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. I wonder how many times we have heard those scriptures. I wonder how many times we have heard those words on our ears. And yet sometime, beloved brothers and sisters, there is coming a day when this will be reality and we will look forward to it no more. It will be here and now. And the time of choice is over. It is done. The sun is going to begin to lose its brightness. And I don't know where you and I will be. I don't know what we will be engaged in activity at that time. But I can imagine the sun losing its strength. And it's getting dark out there. And what's going on? People begin to wonder. And the heavens, the moon is not going to be giving her strength. And the stars are going to fall. And then it says in multiple places it talks about the trumpet. Oh, I wonder how that's going to sound. We know how we get a picture of how it sounded at Mount Sinai. I wonder when that trumpet begins to blow. And all the earth awakens to a sound they've never heard before. This will be reality. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Oh, brothers and sisters, for the Christian, it's an anticipation of that day. And for the sinner, it's a fearful day. You know in your heart tonight what it is. You know. And I believe at that moment you will know. It says, in Revelations it says, and every eye shall see him, and they that pierced him. There will come a time when that Roman soldier who had that spear and stuck it up in the side of Jesus will awaken to the power of the Lord Jesus. No eye will be missed. I don't know what will be happening in the earth. I think of all the big cities. New York City, Chicago, Los Angeles, Mexico City, Moscow, all the activity, all the commerce, all the business, all the airplane flights, and every eye shall see him. Every eye. None escape. You will see him tonight. You will see him. And he will come in great power and glory. It says he will bring all the holy angels with him. In Revelations, it talks about Jesus coming through the sky on a white horse, and all the angels and the host of heaven following him. Can you imagine? Our Lord Jesus coming through the skies, riding on his white horse, and all the hosts of heaven following, with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the head, end of heaven to the other. I don't know how it's all going to be. I do not know. I have speculation. I can imagine. I do not know. But I'm going to put a little bit of imagination in this. It seems to me, according to this verse, that those who are redeemed, are going to be escaped up into heaven with Him. Thessalonians says that the dead in Christ shall rise first. That means those graves are going to be open and they're going to go, and then we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up with them together with the Lord. And I believe this is a sign, this is the same word that we see here, that the redeemed of the earth are going to escape the wrath. But can you imagine? I see two such extreme pictures. A reunion like no reunion has ever been. To be with our Lord forever. And we are escaped from this world. No more temptation. No more depravity. No more curse. No more flesh to contend with. We're free. Will you be with that crowd? Or will your feet be glued to the ground? Will you be left behind? You know tonight the condition of your heart. And brothers and sisters, this is not a coercion. This is not a forcing. This is simply reality that we are going to face. And the choice tonight is yours, whether you're going to be going or staying. That's just simply your choice. Remember, there is a space to repentance. I gave her a space to repent, God said in Revelations, and she repented not. When that space of repentance is over, you're done. If you feel the call tonight, remember, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. It's His love for you if you feel a call. It's a specific and particular and personal love and an invitation to you tonight from Almighty God to be His child. It's not something that's just this embarrassing thing, this hard and loathsome thing. It's an invitation of love and mercy like you have never known and like you will never know. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What do you think, brothers and sisters? I can see two people being on the pool barn. What, two of them sitting on the top of those walls setting trusses. And all of a sudden the sun gets dim. And all of a sudden things begin to happen. And soon the trumpet begins to sound. One shall be taken and the other left. I see two sisters, two ladies shopping together. I see two ladies sitting at the table peeling peaches. I see two ladies sitting together conversing as they're sewing their dresses. I see two men in their offices doing bookwork. One shall be taken, the other left. And all of a sudden you see the one beside you going up. And we're left. Can you believe? Can you imagine the horror? And somehow, I do not know this, but somehow I believe. You know, I'm apprehensive someday. What's this going to be like sometimes? And yet I believe within my heart that the moment Jesus comes through the clouds, the saint will know he is his. And the sinner will know he is damned. There will be a crushing burden of your sin. That thing that you were not willing to give up. That thing that you thought was so valuable and important will instantly bear down on your burden of your heart with a terrible burden. Brothers and sisters, what is worth eternal damnation? Then two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. As Noah. Marriages, weddings, properties will be bought, properties will be sold, houses will be built, businesses will be built and sold. Money will be made, commerce will be going on. A busy hustling in the world. And as the flood came suddenly, so the Son of Man. And after this, the judgment. Revelations. Chapter 20. I'm going to back up. I wasn't going to turn here, but I'm going to. We're going to turn to Revelations chapter 6 and verse 12. There is a lot of things about Revelations that I do not understand, but there are some things that are very, very clear. There are some scenes that are very clear. This is one of them. Revelations chapter 6, verse 12. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Does this sound familiar? The last day. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and their great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bond man, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? Behold the goodness and severity of God. Somehow we like to recite, I think, somewhat erroneously. But I think there's truth in it. God loves the sinner but hates the sin. But I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, today, there will come a day when the wrath of the Lamb will be poured upon the sinner and not the sin. You will face, if you die a sinner, you will face the wrath of the Lamb like you've never experienced wrath in all your entire life. There is a day of wrath coming that will be poured out, not trickled out, not just a little bit, but poured out without mixture. And you will feel wrath like you've never known wrath. And you will try to hide. You cannot hide. His all-piercing eye will find you and bring you into judgment for the sin that you kept in your heart, even though he gave you an invitation and you despised it. Tonight, it's not about what I want and what I can't have. Tonight, it's about a holy God that has given his Son to die for us, and we reject him. And brothers and sisters, tonight, I wish we could see the glorious holiness of God. And with the glorious holiness of God, the love and the affection that he places upon us. All right, now we're going to go to Revelations chapter 20. I read some of this last night. We'll read it again. Revelations chapter 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. For some reason, my mind goes back to Old Red Barn Shop, 9064 Glasgow Road, Brooksville, Kentucky. I walked out that Saturday morning. I look into the shop, and the brethren are in there building a pressure-treated box. about 8 feet long and about 4 feet wide. And John Henry Smooker looked at me and he said, "Amos, there's coming a day when this box will burst wide open and Johnny is going to rise right up out of here and he'll be with the Lord." Praise God. And the devil, in verse 10, that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it from whose face the earth and heaven fled away and there was found no place for them. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away and there was found no place for them. Oh, brothers and sisters, I cannot behold the seriousness of the moment when you and I are facing the great white throne and the books will be opened and it's going to be you and Almighty God. Earth has fled away. The Corvette, the rock and country music, the nightlife of Nashville, the business empire, the commerce, all of it has fled away. And all that was important is over. And it is a moment of eternal destiny. Heaven or hell. Heaven or hell. That moment will be reality one day. You will not escape it. It says clearly. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. I don't care how hard man tries to make it to where they cannot rise out of their grave. I've heard many stories. Being in concrete, being laid in concrete and bands wrapped around it. All kinds of imaginary tales of how I'm going to escape the judgment day. There's a sign in Brooksville, Kentucky on the highest part of Alpine Hill. There is a monument. Here is laid this person. For this is the closest place he'll ever get to God, he said. Death and hell gave up the dead which were in them. The sea gave up the dead. All those poor souls, those immigrants that were coming from Europe that got sick on the boat and died over the edge of the boat. All the army personnel that were en route. Osama bin Laden who was put into the sea. The cremated ashes that were cast into the sea. Death and hell gave up the dead which were in them. Gave it up. You will be there. You will be before God alone. And you will be judged by what you did. And if you are hiding things tonight, there's an all-seeing God who knows exactly what you are doing and where you're at. You are not hiding a thing. Every single bit of it is being recorded. Bless God, those confessions are being recorded. Those repentances are being recorded. Those altar calls are being recorded. There's a book of life, and you will be judged by your works. Those times you went back and apologized and made things right, it's being recorded. Bless God. He is a fair and just God. Everything will be perfectly fair at that judgment day. But you can be a most wonderful, plain Christian. And if you are hiding sin, you will be judged by what you did. Not by your profession. Not by what you said. Not by how you acted. But what you did. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We don't need to elaborate on the hell fire. You know what hellfire is. You know how bad hell, how bad fire hurts. You know that it's going to be eternal. You know that you're going to be cast in there where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You know that there will be pain and suffering like no one knows forever. You know that. We cannot imagine it, but it will be reality if we die in our sins. The other side is also true, brothers and sisters. All the tears that you wept, all the battles that you fought, all the temptations that you've resisted, all the times when you, against all hope, continue to hope, you will be in glory forever. Bless the Lord. You see, brothers and sisters, when we stand before that throne, it will be very, very clear. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men, they follow after. Can you imagine the good life that you thought you lived? The life that you thought was so full and rich, and you stand before the throne, and after you comes all your hidden sins. Brothers and sisters, it will be clear that day. Let your sins go beforehand to judgment. Bring your sins to Jesus, confess them and abandon them and be forgiven. So tonight, the choice is clear. We're going to turn back to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. See, you and I have more responsibility than probably any other generation that ever was. As much as or more. You know, you have heard all your life, some of you maybe not, but you have been acquainted with, you have been educated about the Word of God. You know these things, which makes us more responsible. You have the Old Testament. You see how God worked all through the Old Testament. You've seen how God hates murmuring in the Old Testament. You've seen how He detested lust. You've seen what He's done with sin. You've seen the severity of God. Last night you heard about Achan, and there was no hope for Achan. You know it all. Now let's read in Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? You see, if there was no hope for Achan, if God was serious about his word, and we've seen it, how much more serious is God when he gives Jesus? Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifices of sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment, and of fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Brothers and sisters, can you just pause for a moment? Go to Gethsemane. Almighty God, I don't understand the Trinity, but there we have part of God Himself, the Son of God, weeping in the garden. Weeping. Falling on His face and calling out and crying out to God to let this burden pass from Him. And there was a no. Sweat drops of blood as blood. Weeping for this work that was before Him. And desperately and agonizing to get out of this. Somehow, Lord, if it be possible, let it pass from me. And finally, He's consecrated. And He says, let's go and let's meet them. They take Him over to the judgment hall. They smite Him on his cheek. How will you respond, young men, if someone comes up to you and just wham over your face? How would you respond if someone would blindfold you and spit in your face? And he's not a person. He is a person, but he's divine. He could have yanked that handkerchief off his face and said, "You are the one that spit in me." And he could have dropped him dead on the spot. And there he is. And they give him a crown of thorns. And blood profusely comes from head wounds. And they tap that thing on him. And they give him a stick. A king has a scepter, you know. And they mock him and bow down before him and say, "Hey, O king." And they had no idea that he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They take him out. And they put him, and I want you to imagine, this was real for Jesus. And you've got that 4x6. And you've got that 4x6 that's 8 feet long, and you've got a cross beam of 4 feet wide. And you lay down on that cross beam, and you put your arms out, and that spike goes right through here somewhere. One whack at a time. Can you imagine how that would feel? The next one is the legs. And it goes through the bone of my foot, and I feel it sinking down through the foot. And that hammer beats down on my feet. And then they put him up on the cross. And they set him down in that post. And there he hangs. And I want you to think about hanging on nails. And you're hanging. And the nails in your hands can't support you. It gets wearisome. So you let yourself down and the weight goes on your feet and the nail on your feet. That becomes so excruciatingly painful, you raise yourself up, and now all the weight is in your feet. And it's back and forth. Not for 5 minutes. Not a contest of 30 minutes. Hour after hour after hour. And I want you to think about the pain that he's in. But I want you to think about someone else. I want you to think about Father God. And I want you to think about the hosts of heaven that are watching this scene, this agony. And no one's going to tell me that the heart of the Father God was not bursting for his son. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Tonight, the fact that we have enlightenment, and we know that God gave the tremendous sacrifice of His Son Jesus. And we do not refuse. We do not respond. We refuse to respond. We refuse to turn our hearts toward Him. We are trodding underfoot the Son of God. I want to tell you tonight, souls, if you are hiding sin in your heart, if you are not responding to God's call in your life, and you end up in hell, it is because you chose to be there. And I have heard people say that it is not a just God that will make an eternal damnation. Brothers and sisters, when you know the sacrifice that was given for your soul and you reject it, your eternal damnation is completely just. You know what to do tonight. You know how to escape it. But you resist. Your damnation is just. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Brothers and sisters, I don't like emotional invitations. And I don't like when we play on emotions. But I am simply setting forth before you death or life. It is your choice. No one is going to force you. No one is going to make you. But the invitation is to you. Go to Revelations. You see, these things are simply reality of what we will face one day. And it is the goodness of God to allow you to be delivered from the wrath to come. It is not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to life. Revelation chapter 22, in verse 12. "And behold, I come quickly, And my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. So much for saying that I can live as I want to, and the grace of God covers it all. God doesn't see my sins anymore because he's looking through the blood-stained glasses. Brothers and sisters, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without our dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, thank you, let him take of the water of life freely. Tonight, can it be more clear? Come. Just come. Take of the water of life. I don't know who's here tonight. I don't know your condition. God does. God sees perfectly and clearly your heart and the struggle that you may be facing right now. He is here to help you. His invitation is clear. Just come. Just come to the Lord Jesus, to the fountain of living water. Your life will be a life of suffering. Yes, it will. When Jesus offered Paul the engagement into his kingdom, he told Ananias, tell him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. You will suffer. It will be a life of absolute sacrifice and self-denial from day one to the end. It will be a hard life. But I can assure you of one thing, it will be the most blessed journey you could experience. God is a God of love. Come, just come. For Achan, there was not a door of mercy. For us tonight, there's a door of mercy. You may come. We're going to sing, There's a Fountain Free. 'Tis for you and me. Is it in your book, John? It's not in there. Do you all have the hymnaries out there? It's in there, I believe. There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me.